Okay, Tabs, let's jump straight into this conversation. Yesterday we were talking about mental health and how to overcome through what the word says, right? But the greatest freedom that you can ever bring to someone is actually giving them Jesus, right? Do you know that song that says, "Just give me Jesus"? You know it. Maybe I'm not singing it correct, but you are with me,
no?
Just give me Jesus.
Yes,
just give me Jesus. Because with Jesus, you get everything, right? You have the provision, you have the health, you have the right standing with God, you have forgiveness, you have so much. So how do you go about leading someone to Jesus? So if someone is not going to get to church, right? If someone's not going to get to the conference, if someone's not going to get be in time to get to your home cell, then where else are they going to be led to the Lord? And sometimes as Christians, we're so great at invitations that we forget our assignment must be on the ground, because tomorrow is not guaranteed for anyone. That is 100% true. Someone woke up today and they don't know that today is going to be their last day. Now, if you die without Jesus, that's a huge problem, because you will be in an eternal separation, which is hell, and that's a fact. I mean, we mustn't shy away from the truth, right? So people are afraid to talk about hell, but it's a reality, and it should cause us as the believers to wake up and lead people to Jesus where they are at. So I led someone to the Lord way back when we got off the bus together, and I was ministering to him, telling him the story of my life and how Jesus saved me. Mm-hmm. And then we got to the place where he decided, okay, I asked the golden question. So would you like to receive Jesus into your life? And he said, yes. And we were walking on the streets. And right there and then, I led him in the sinner's prayer, and he was saved right there in the street.
Sure.
Then the invitation to church was like, okay, you've got to come to church in order to grow. Now, nothing wrong with inviting people to be saved at church, but if you can lead them to the Lord where they are at, you would have done so much more. So I've written some things down, because Tubbs, doing the five confessions and the blood of redemption, I realized something, that we can't just talk about these things. People actually want to see what we are talking about.
Okay.
And then we're scrambling for notes. But today I'm prepared. Nah?
Okay.
Today I got it. Okay. So here's how you lead someone to Jesus. The first thing, obviously, you've got to have your story. You got to know your story. It's basically about telling your story great.
Okay.
Where were you before Jesus? How did your encounter with Jesus look like? And then how did your life look like afterwards? So before Christ, then Christ, and after Christ.
Okay.
That's in an essence. So some people think, I can't speak about Jesus because I don't know all the scriptures. The word in Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witness. What does a witness do when they come up on a stand? Explain that to me. So
you
in court,
give your account, you testify.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what do you testify about? I mean, we're watching Sensum UI case now for almost 9-10 years.
You give your account of the events as they happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you were there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you weren't there, can you witness?
No.
If you haven't been there, if you haven't had the experience, can you witness?
No.
So what do you need to be in order to qualify to be a witness?
A believer.
No. Not a believer.
Well, in court. No. Oh, okay.
Yeah, in court. I must be a believer in court. No. How do you qualify to be a witness? You just have to be there and have the experience. Now, God has called us to be witnesses, right? He says the Holy Spirit will be upon you, Acts 1:8, and you will be my witness. You can't witness of something you haven't
seen or experienced.
And that's why we talk about before, then the witness, what happened, and afterwards. Because here's the thing, people can argue with the Bible and, hey, but this scripture, this, is it relevant? Is it blah, blah, blah? But you can't argue with the fact that I was addicted, I met Jesus, now I am free. No one can take that away from you. It's your first-hand witness. And that's where the power is. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. So the points that I'm about to give you, you've got to add your witness to it. What did Jesus do for you? Okay, so it looks a bit... And then you speak about these four things. It's four spiritual laws, right? Four spiritual laws. And this is basic, how to lead someone to Jesus. Four spiritual laws. Let me explain what a spiritual law is. Is that fine?
Okay, yes.
Do you know what a natural law is? The law of gravity.
Okay.
What is the law of gravity?
What goes up must come down.
Correct. Now, the law of gravity is a physical law that whether you believe in it or not doesn't change the fact that gravity exists.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So you can be on the top of a building at Menlyn Park Shopping Center and jump off and say, I'm an atheist when it comes to gravity. Huh. Gravity is not going to say, yo, nah, you're atheist. Here's an atheist. Let's hold this person up.
Okay.
It's not going to happen, right?
Mm-mm.
What's gravity going to do?
You're going to fall.
It's a law, right?
Yeah.
Now, in the same way, there are natural or spiritual laws that are the same, that are governed the same. Whether you believe that they work or they don't, in fact, if you disrespect the law of gravity, you will be disrespected. You will hurt yourself. But if you respect the law of gravity and you believe in gravity, it helps you not to be foolish and walk off cliffs. You understand? You are careful because you understand these things. Now there are spiritual laws. And here are the four spiritual laws. It's a fact. It's a problem. It's a solution. And application. Say with me, fact.
Fact.
Problem.
Solution. Application.
Application. Or action. Let's maybe call it action.
Action.
Fact, problem, solution, action. Those are the four spiritual laws. Here is the fact. Like gravity, here's a fact. God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Right? So somewhere along in your before, present, and after, you've got to say, this is a fact. God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you a hope and a future. And then people are like, yo, I don't feel love because why would, here's the argument people make. Why would this bad thing happen to me if God loved me? And I just don't feel like I'm loved. Well, here's how you can debunk that. 103 FM is a frequency, no?
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there are frequent. 103 FM is everywhere. It's over your head. It's in that cup. It's in a car. It's everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it, but it's there, right?
Yes.
And now, what do you need to do in order to listen to us right now? If you're in your radio,
switch on your car radio.
Mm-hmm.
If it's on the app, then
yeah, but it can go to 105 FM. Will you catch
tune
it?
Tune it.
You understand?
Yeah.
Tune in to the sounds of impact. So you physically have to tune in and go to the right frequency. Then you will receive what's already there. So many people aren't experiencing the love of God because they haven't tuned in. They don't want to know God. They don't have a desire for him. They don't want to come in. But it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them and has a wonderful plan for their lives.
Mm.
So fact, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Number two is the
problem.
Ah, you catch on quick. Problem. What is the problem? Man is sinful and our sin separates us from God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glorious standard of God. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. This is a big problem now, because if you've worked sin, your rightful payment is death. Mm-hmm. It's not about being a good or a bad person, right? Good people, it's not I'm good, therefore I deserve to go to heaven. No, only righteous people go to heaven. So if you've got sin in your life, if you've worked sin, then your rightful payment is death. So somewhere along in that conversation, you've got to ask the question, like, have you ever told a lie before? Oops, yes, guilty. You deserve death. Have you stolen something? Have you done, you understand?
Mm.
We're guilty of death. Now comes number three, which is the?
Solution.
Fact, problem, solution. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven or to be saved. The only way. My ancestors aren't going to get me to heaven. Why? Because my ancestors were human beings and they've sinned. Which means if they die in my place, right? They can't die in my place because they also need to go to hell. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They also deserve hell. So it's like, yeah, but Nelson Mandela was such a great man. Mother Teresa was such a great woman. Why can't they die in our place? Because they're human beings. Right? It's only Jesus who came in the flesh in the form of a man, but he was God himself. He was tempted just like you and me, and he did not sin. He's the only way. He died on the cross to save us from death. He went into Hades, took the keys of the kingdom to restore us. Fact, problem?
Fact, problem, solution, action.
And action. Yeah. Action or application. What's the action? Knowing that Jesus died for you is not good enough. You physically have to receive him into your life. right? The book of John, I think it's 12, says, "For as many as received him," Jesus, "to them he gave the right to be called children of God," right? Now, once they're at that place, you've got to ask the golden question. So after fact, after problem, now they're thinking, yo, I'm in trouble now. Solution, they're like, hey, yeah, this Jesus thing, I know him.
Yeah.
You get them to the application. And after the application, you ask them, so would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And if they say yes, what do? You ask them to bow their heads and close their eyes, and you say the sinner's prayer. You make the confession. So we are saved because of what we confess, that we believe in our heart that Jesus died on the cross for us and he raised us from death. Does that help you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to lead someone to the Lord? So here's what I'm going to do. If you want this, I've got it for you. So I've got the four spiritual laws because we spoke very much. And this is the longest we've ever spoken on this show once. You understand? All in one go. Okay, so forgive me for that. But we got to get through this, right? So I've got this four spiritual laws and then the prayer of salvation.
Okay.
You understand? So the actual prayer that you pray. And I'll just be honest with you. When I led this man to the Lord on the street, I hadn't learned the prayer of salvation yet.
Okay.
Here's how I did it, okay? So I had my phone, right?
Ah.
And I knew that it was somewhere on my notes, okay?
Mm.
And then I was going through four spiritual laws and testifying about my life. Hey, my dad left. This is how I was. And this is what Jesus did. And after I received him into my life, blah, blah, blah. Would you like to receive Jesus into your life?
Mm.
Fact, problem, action, solution. He's the only way, but you've got to receive him. And he said, yes. Then I said, okay, bow your heads and close your eyes. And he bowed his head. And then I whipped out my phone, and behind him, I had the notes. And I said, repeat after me, dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I come to you.
I come to you.
With sin in my life.
With sin in my life.
I need you, Lord.
I need you, Lord.
Please take away this old heart.
Please take away this old heart.
And place your spirit within me.
And place your spirit within me.
Please forgive me of all my sin.
Please forgive me of all my sin.
And all my unrighteousness.
And mold my unrighteousness.
I believe that Jesus died on the cross.
And I believe that Jesus died on the cross.
To save me from all my sin.
To save me from all my sin.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Take control over my life.
Take control over my life.
And remove all the guilt.
And remove all the guilt.
And shame of my old life.
And shame of my old life.
Set me free, Lord.
Set me free, Lord.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For me.
For me.
And that today.
And that today.
I could be called your child.
I could be called your child.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And no one.
And no one.
Will ever snatch me out of your hands.
Will ever snatch me out of your hands.
Or separate me from your love.
Or separate me from your love.
I am yours forever.
I am yours forever.
Phone in pocket. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. You got it?
Okay.
You get it?
Yeah.
So that was the first soul I'd ever led to the Lord. You understand? I, that's how I did it. And then I did feel a bit ashamed. And then I listened carefully to when my pastor did the altar call.
Okay.
And then I learned the prayer of salvation by myself. So there's no shame in that, guys. Do what you need to do as long as the soul is led to the Lord. But then listen carefully. Listen this Sunday when you are sitting in church and you hear your pastor make the altar call. Write that prayer down. Get it in. I'll send it to you right now. But do it like your apostle does it. Do it like your pastor does it in church. Write that down. Get that with you and have yourself armed with it. Did you learn something today, Tubbs?
Yes, you did a whole lot.
Awesome. So if you want that message, the four spiritual laws and the prayer of salvation and how to lead someone to the Lord, then just message me on WhatsApp and we'll send that to you.